Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Now, Mary, have you ever been asked to remove your shoes going into someone's house?
I was actually thinking, was I, while you were talking, Deirdre? And I don't think I have, no.
Yeah. And you wouldn't ask someone to do it in your house?
I wouldn't even think of it.
I wouldn't even think of it either.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like myself now, you've probably had muddy football boots going in and out.
Yeah, I'm not a bit fussy, so I suppose. Yeah. It depends on how much care and attention you pay to the house, I suppose, really, isn't it?
That's true. Well, anyone who ever had children anyway doesn't take any notice.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, so we're going to talk a bit this month about the whole process of a job application. Now, it's a long time since I applied for a job, but I gather it's gotten more complicated than just the Dear Sir or Madam letter of yesteryear.
Well, why I've decided to talk about this is that there's lots of new students that have finished their college courses, so they're all in the throes of this job application. But there's also a lot of stay-at-home moms who their children are now maybe progressed to secondary school, and they're starting to look at perhaps, will I consider dipping my toes back into the workforce? And there's also a lot of people deciding to move careers. So, you know, there's an awful lot of people looking at the process at the moment and in the middle of it deciding I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to try something else. So the job application process, there are a number of areas and there's a number of means of applying for a new job. The first, I suppose, really is company websites. So a lot of the larger companies have a dedicated, you know, careers section on their websites, and people can go in and look at those and apply and register and log onto the company site and get notifications of jobs. So that's a very popular means. And there's also the job boards as well, like LinkedIn, you know, jobs.ie. Again, people do that and they're all online, you know. That people can also then contact companies directly and just send an email, perchance, you know, would there be any positions available or any vacancies.
Are you recruiting?
Yeah. And again, sometimes people are very lucky with that. And then there's the social media and the whole area. They just see jobs that are advertised through Facebook, through Instagram, and they follow up on that. So a lot of it is online, will be online when they're applying at this stage.
Okay. And some of the job application forms can be very complicated. I remember watching somebody filling in a job application for, I think, was it a council job or a HSE job or something like that? And I couldn't believe the amount of questions they had to
Any
fill in.
Any of the public sector jobs, there is, you know, a huge volume of information required. And I think people don't realise the detail that is required. And I think a lot of people forget that the application form is actually going to lead on to the interview, hopefully. So the content of your application form will be again raised at the interview. So people sometimes think of it as two separate entities. They don't realise that what I'm stating in this application form should be linked to the job description, and whatever I'm stating on it will be brought up and raised at the interview. And they don't realise that's how important it is, so that they put items that they want to be asked at the interview, you know, and they feed that through.
So what are the important things you should keep in mind when you're completing the application form?
Well, the first thing is read the instructions carefully and follow the instructions. An awful lot of people come to me, say they're called for an interview and they want to do some interview prep. And when I get their application form, the amount of, we'll say, instructions they haven't followed, or the amount of errors, or, you know, you'd be surprised even that they were called for interview. So first, read the instructions very carefully and stick to those instructions, like word counts, you know, etc. When they leave plenty of time for an application form as well. Sometimes people contact me on a Friday, say, I have an application form to be submitted on Monday. Can you help me? You know, that isn't long enough. You need to go through it carefully, you know, collate your information, see what's the most important information, and ensure that you answer questions correctly. And if they're looking for competency-based questions, that means they're looking for evidence and examples. So if they're looking for somebody who they want leadership skills, well, it's important then that they can demonstrate using an example that they have had a leadership role and what was the outcome. So rather than just duties, saying that, you know, I was a supervisor, what was the outcome? What did they achieve in their supervisory role? And that's a very common error. People do that. Again, check and see if there's gaps in your CV or gaps in the employment record. that can normally highlight, you know, why were the people not there, why were they not working. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't have a valid reason, or you can say, you know, you're taking out time for family or whatever. That's not an issue. But if you have gaps that are just vacant completely, you know, they may flag. Then I say you, they may question you about those areas. Do you know? It's important to have your CV that reflects exactly the information on your application form. And sometimes it doesn't, so the dates may not correspond, the employment record may not correspond, and it's important that they do. And again, just to have accuracy, it's really, you know, I can't, you know, stress how important it is to have accurate punctuation, grammar.
Spelling.
I know it sounds basic, but it really is off-putting. You know, when people see, a letter that or an application form that contains inaccuracies, and an awful lot of the information required is in chronological order, as in what you're doing now, you put first and work backwards. And the amount of people that, when I even get application forms, look, they've dates all over the place. You know, so again, you wouldn't be considered if you can't follow simple instructions like that, and that's important.
Okay, and it's really the employer's, the potential employer's first impression of you.
It is, yeah.
So you can tell if somebody hasn't filled an application form in properly, mm-hmm. they might be a bit careless and they're not good with detail.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
And if they rush it, you know, that means they haven't planned properly. You know, if they have to, you know, attach, you know, maybe a document or a certificate for a degree. If they haven't done that, it means, again, they're not paying attention to detail. So, again, that's showing you the type of person you are. And as you know, first impressions, disimpressions do count. And I know it's through online and online. But, like, it's you know, if you want a job and it's a job that you really are hoping to get, you must put your best effort in when you're completing the details for the job.
Now, you mentioned at the outset that you were prompted to do this, Mary, to talk about this month, because there's a lot of new graduates coming on the market now trying to get their foot on the career ladder. So what are employers looking for in a new graduate?
Well, normally they will have some kind of a minimum academic entering requirement, be it a degree, a diploma, you know, QQI level 5, level 6, an apprenticeship. So there is that element. The work experience then employers will look at, and sometimes students think, okay, I've only got work experience when I was in college, so is that relevant? But work experience would be considered any volunteering you do, any involvement in college projects, in addition to the work experience. And even like summer work that students do, that's all taken into account, work experience, because again, it shows, you know, you're committed to, you know, being professional, you're committed to turning up on time, you've got a work ethic, you know, and it's very easy to spot somebody. I mean, when you meet somebody, even if I meet a student in fifth year, I can tell straight away if they've worked for the summer, because they just have a different attitude.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You can spot them.
You nearly spot them straight away, yeah.
Yeah.
And even in their approach to how they speak to me, their ability to communicate, even if you mention, you know, what do you like, what don't you like, working with people, not, they can give you examples what they like and what they're really good at. And somebody who's just in school and hasn't worked and maybe gone straight into college, they don't have those kind of skills built up. And anybody who's worked, even if it's in a local cafe, in a local shop, they've built up resilience. And they know, like, if there's a customer complaining about something, if there's a customer giving out, you know, they've learned how to deal with those situations. And that's something that, you know, that you learn and you take with you always. So again, an employer looking at a college graduate, if they can see that student has worked for the summer, you know, when they were in TY in fifth year, you know, during sixth year in college, to help them, it says an awful lot about their work ethic, and it says an awful lot about the transferable skills that they've developed.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. And even if a young person can't get a summer job for whatever reason, as you were saying, maybe volunteer in your local St. Vincent de Paul shop.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah, or if you think there's loads of people here, like, you know, it's charities that, if you like, say, for example, if you like, you know, building websites or something, go and offer, can you help out with their website? Can you update it for them? You know, can you write pieces for the media for them? Like, if you have a particular skill or you're good at something, you can always just use it to volunteer and support an organisation or community organisation that is going to benefit. And that will reflect very positively in an application form, a CV for a potential employer.
Okay, so they're looking for, in terms of new graduates, they're looking for somebody who's maybe been in the workplace before, has a little bit, or a voluntary environment, has a bit of experience, and maybe has a bit of head in their shoulders,
right,
that they're not naive, that they've been out in the world a bit.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there's only so much they will expect at this stage. And again, then, from the point of view of the qualities, is that they've got initiative, you know, that, you know, they will listen. And being a good communicator, and a good communicator is being a good listener as well as being able to speak well, and that they can write well. And a lot of the employers are looking for good digital skills. Now, what I find is that a lot of the new graduates, they may be very good using social media, but they may not be as good when you're talking about managing files, you know, safely, you know, using Excel. So they may be very adept at social media skills, but not at maybe business application skills, which might be required in the workforce. So they can do they can upskill themselves in those areas. So again, they look for that, you know.
Generally speaking, because we're always hearing from people, and we've heard it on this lot, people who say, I'm qualified, I'm highly qualified, I have a master's and XYZ, and no, everybody, everywhere I apply for the job, they tell me they want someone with experience. So is that still a thing, or do most companies, are most companies happy to take on a graduate?
Well, I think you can see what a graduate is like based on, as I said, what they've done from very young age. You know, a lot of them will have, if they have summer work, I think that says an awful lot about somebody. If they've got volunteered and they've got involved in projects in college. And there will be projects that they can link in with industry even as they're doing their college degree. So that's important. And as well, like you know, students get opportunities to get involved in networking events, to hold events, fundraisers, all that. So if you have a student who's done all that, you know, outside of their college course, and a student who's just stuck to the minimum, the bare minimum, the college course, one student will have developed far more in their employability skills and qualities than another. So it's the student who has gone outside the box will be the person who will secure the job.
Yeah, so even if you're still in college, be thinking about all these things and planning ahead.
And I say to a lot of students that when you think about it, if you're doing a business degree, there might be 300 that finish at the end of the year with a business degree. So they all have the same academic qualification, maybe at different levels, but the same academic qualification. But the student then who has attended networking events and linked in with business people and followed up on them with them and met them, students who have maybe, you know, got involved in the college open day, who've spoken on behalf of the college course, they're the students who have the additional add-on extras, and that's what will secure them employment.
Yeah, that sets them apart.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, Mary. It's 17 minutes past two. Listeners, if any of you have a question for Mary, maybe there are college graduates listening to us this afternoon, or parents of college graduates, friends of college graduates, or indeed anybody who is applying for a job at the moment and needs some help or a bit of a steer from our expert Mary, send us in a question to 083 300 3300. That is our text and WhatsApp number, and Dervil is on the phones on 066 712 3666.
Careers Ahead on Talkabout with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
Now, Mary, I must ask you, what's known as the hidden jobs market? What does that term relate to?
Okay, well, the hidden job market, first of all, just to acknowledge that in some professional areas, they reckon that about 70% of jobs are secured through the hidden jobs market. What it is that if I know you, Deirdre, and I think that you're a great radio presenter and you're absolutely super, and I happen to meet somebody else from another radio station and I say, do you know what, you should have a chat with Deirdre Walsh, she'd be amazing, you know. So it's the networking, and it's not direct contact, as in there's a job advertised. It's through networking that somebody makes a recommendation, and somebody else might say, well, let's arrange to have a chat and a meeting up. And that's what it is. So if you have, you know, if you're interested in getting into social care and you have an aunt who works in for Tulsa, or, you know, somebody else who's worked in addiction counsellor and they recommend you to somebody else to have a chat, that's what the hidden jobs market is. It's not, you know, overtly advertised, but a position arrives, basically it's a recommendation from somebody else. Now, it doesn't mean you won't get in without an interview or applying, but it just means you're hit on it a little bit.
I knew we would get something along the lines of this question. A caller is in touch and says, I know two young lads who are trying to look for jobs. They go everywhere and the first thing they're asked for is experience. How can they have experience if no one will hire them to give them experience in the first place?
Yeah,
we kind of spoke about that
before the break. But try and get, like, depending on the area they're in, you know, there's always charity and community-based organisations, you know, that are looking for support and for help. So, like, even get in touch with me, let me know what they can do, or what they're interested in doing, and look at it, we'll try and sort out something or pass on a contact to them. That would be the hidden job market going again there.
A caller says, my son Mary has done 4-year arts in English, an arts degree I presume, in English and geography, but feels teaching mightn't be for him. What other route could he take?
Well, anything to do with, there's an awful lot in the whole area of sustainability and the environment at the moment. So the geography degree will certainly lead in towards that. So he could take a look at some of the jobs that are involved in the environment, or perhaps do a further course or, you know, a master's in something in sustainability and the environment. And there's an awful lot of positions opening up there in that area.
Okay, here's a strange one. Listener says, my son did an online interview recently and was asked to show the interviewers the room he was doing it in. Is this a valid question? I thought it was a bit strange.
They're normally not asked that. Sometimes they're asked to open up a window on things behind them just to see in case they've got shorts on. You know, the top half is maybe professional looking and the bottom half is pair of shorts. I've heard
worse.
Of people doing, yeah, true. I've heard of some people being asked that. I know for the driving test online at the time in COVID, they had to show the camera all around the room in case anybody was hiding or someone helping them. It may have been just in case that somebody else was in the room, maybe. I don't know exactly.
Oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
From the security point of view and a confidentiality, perhaps, or, you know, to ensure that they weren't getting prompts from somebody. But it is a bit unusual.
It is a bit of a strange one.
But just, I do know, I always tell people who are doing a Zoom interview to ensure like they're dressed appropriately on the bottom half as well as the top half,
yeah,
just in case they do have to stand up or something, you know.
So don't be there in your underwear and your underpants with the collar and tie on top. Yeah. Okay. Amy was in touch. Amy dropped out of college after 2 years and started a completely new course, which she successfully completed. But she's wondering what should she say in an application form so that this doesn't create a bad impression. And by that, I presume she means the dropping out
college.
Of the other course.
Yeah. An awful lot of people have this issue because I've spoken before, there's a huge dropout rate of students in college. I would think be honest always. You know, she can say that she did 2 years. You know, she may have been young starting off and the course just didn't suit her, or she hadn't researched the course properly enough, or she couldn't adapt to the new learning environment, and she decided to just after 2 years to withdraw from that course. She will still have learnt a lot on the course, on any course you will learn during as the year progresses, and she re-evaluated her situation and started on a new course once she'd researched it properly and she'd a better idea and she was more mature, and she successfully completed it. So what she can do is say, I still learned ABCD from the 2 years I was there. And then when I started college, I even found the transition to the new course a lot easier. So always show the advantage of what had happened rather than the disadvantage.
Yeah.
But be honest, because, I mean, that's 2 years. So inevitably you would say, like, what were you doing for those 2 years?
Yeah, so you can't be lying about it. You have to be upfront.
No. And, I mean, a lot of people do. They realise midway, you know,
this isn't for me.
Yeah. Or they may have maybe had a work experience element in the second year, and they realised when they were out in the actual workforce and got first-hand experience of their course or where it would be applied, that they hated it.
This isn't me.
You know, and I've known a lot of people doing childcare courses, and, you know, they were great academically, and then when they went out in the work experience, they came back and said to me,
I don't like children.
I realise I hate children. Not my own, I love them, but I hate the thought of working with them, and I know I could not work with them 24/7.
Yeah.
So things like that can happen. So you need to be able to just reevaluate and see, okay, where do I go from here? But always have the positive spin on it.
Now, John got in touch. He failed his first year exams in college and he had to repeat that year. But he's wondering, how will he cover that up in his application form?
Again, like, don't cover it up.
Yeah.
You know, now you can always put down, like, if it was started college in 2024, it finished in 2025, it may not even be picked up without stressing it. But if they say, I see you're 5 years in college, again, he can always say he started off, like, he found the transition very difficult, moving away from home. He found the change in, you know, the studying, the self-directed studying, he found it difficult. He struggled in college in first year. You know, he wasn't mature enough to handle the new environment. But then he knuckled down again in second year. He realised the implications of not working hard enough. And he successfully passed his first year again. So again, you know, be honest, but put the positive. Show what you learned from the experience, even if it was a negative experience on yourself. But what was the positive experience of it?
Now, this listener is doing a springboard course in pharmaceutical operations. I presume. Well, she says, he or she says, in pharmaceutical operator, but I presume you get the gist of it anyway.
Yeah.
They're doing it shortly. And the listener says, I'm wondering, how would I get work experience for this? Because it's not included in the course.
If it's not included, I presume he or she means just they want work experience themselves.
Yeah.
Take a look and see. Actually, there's an awful lot of pharmaceutical companies advertising positions at the moment, hence the springboard course, because they're all industry related and they are run if there's industry requirements. Take a look and see jobs that are there, even if you can just get part-time working in a pharmaceutical, you know, and you probably will need some bit of training in the area first, and then as soon as she starts the course, check out the pharmaceutical companies and see the different entry levels.
Here's an interesting one. Listener says, can I use AI to help me with my application form?
Yes, of course, you can use AI. But what I will stress is, use it as a support tool. So you do not say, like, what is the good answer for this? Type in your question and copy it into your application form. Use it to support you if you need help with, you know, coming up with an idea or phrase. But you must adapt it yourself and tailor it to your application and to your situation. But AI is best used if it's used as a support tool, not to replace you or your own specific skills or your own, you know, abilities. So people can use it as a support tool, but only that. Do not use it to replace your own thinking and what your own answer is going to be.
Yeah, because there's no substitute for that.
No. And you must tailor, I didn't mention, but you must tailor each application form to the specific company and the specific role, not just a general one you can send out to everybody.
Yeah, that they'll know you just cut and pasted it.
Yeah, and people tend to do that with CVs as well, and it's
not a good idea.
No.
We've kind of covered this already, but this a gentleman wants to ask us, is there a dress code for online interviews?
Well,
put your pants on anyway. We covered that, I think.
And your socks. I mean, you have to remember what, you know, depending on the role, first, the dress code, but always, you know, show that you've put in an effort, that you look professional. And you have to remember, even if a company, if you know that they're very casual in a company and they dress normally, you still must dress up, because what happens is that they bring you out to a client and they want you to, you know, to meet this client as a potential client. They want you to be able to present yourself professionally if you're representing the company. So always dress up for an interview. You can dress down if you get the job when you see what everybody else is kind of, what's the dress code there. So do not, like, sit in a hoodie or, you know, put something on. And people
or a Kerry jersey or a dirty T-shirt.
People do, you know, so I would think, you know, dress professionally.
And actually, because this came in from a man, is the suit and tie still a thing?
A lot of men would wear now just a shirt and a jacket without
a blazer,
a tie.
Yeah. As we call it.
But it depends,
yeah.
Because some of the companies require the dress code for working every day is a suited and booted, as they say. So, like, check and see what's the dress code normally in the company, and then, you know, dress appropriately.
Yeah.
But don't, like, I know lots of them, and again, new graduates and students, even from mock interviews for me, I say, like, dress like you will, and they will turn up, like, in a hoodie, or they say, you know, this is fine, you know, and it's not fine, really. You know, it's fine for hanging around the college, but it's not fine for going for an interview.
Yeah, it's funny how it's changed from all those years ago when it had to be a suit and tie for the man and the shoes polished and but I've discussed this before. We've so dumbed down dressing generally in every aspect of life.
We have, certainly. But some companies still require it. And I mean, if you turned up just without a tie even, they wouldn't consider it.
Yeah, I think that's a bit stuffy. I think the tie thing is gone, really.
Most of that's gone from most, But again, check and see what's the dress code in the company.
And you should be putting your best foot forward anyway.
That's what it's about. Yeah,
shave and cut your hair as well.
And you see, as well, an awful lot of that, for the person who's being interviewed, the perspective is that you want to feel confident going for this job. So if you feel you are dressed well, you know, you look well, you're well groomed, you know, that's going to give you a little bit of extra confidence in the interview as well.
Before we finish up, and obviously I'm going to get you to give out your contact details, but just there was an education related story in the news today. I'm sure you saw it and I was just wondering what you made of it. They do this survey every year, the school retention report. And it's showing now, I think this is incredible, that over 98% of students are now completing their junior cert and over 86% of students now do their leaving cert. So, leaving cert applied. So people are staying in school for longer. That's probably a good thing, is it?
It is. I find though that their school refusals has increased though.
Yeah.
You know, so, across the board, some people are just really unhappy in school.
Yeah.
And they hate it. They dread going in every day. So I think that's an area that should be looked at, because I don't believe any young person should be persecuted every morning and dragged to school, you know, and that's not the best learning environment. But there's a huge amount of work in schools now to support people of all varying, you know, degrees of and levels of academic ability, and people with additional needs are catered for much more. And I think, you know, people who have social anxiety are catered more. So I think the schools are becoming more inclusive and they're more diverse, and I think that will encourage people to stay at school. But I do think there is a cohort, you know, that just hates school, and I think they should be catered for as well, that, you know, elsewhere, and there is options, but it's awful if you think a young person dreading getting up every morning to thought of facing school.
Yeah, and you know, it's great that gone are the days when if you didn't have your leaving cert, you'd never get a decent job. Oh, yeah. You know, those days are
gone
now.
And I've said that time and time again. And people, like, from a social perspective, it's great to go to school if you're happy in there and you have friends and it's really positive, you know. And the leaving cert, as I say lots of time, it will certainly not make or break you. Irrespective, you can follow any career really you want. And there's so many different routes, you know, to get you to where you want to go. So, and I think even if the focus was away from that, from the school, that, you know, you need the leaving cert, you need these points, if people realised there are so many different avenues to go and there are so many different ways to getting there, and it would reduce the stress a lot more on leaving certs, and I think that would be for the better.
Yeah, very well said. Mary, just before we finish up with you, I know we're gone over time, you might remind listeners how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, my number is 087-933-8941, and if you leave a message or a WhatsApp on that, and my email is marylucey@careerahead.ie.
Very good. Mary, a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
A reminder to listeners, we'll put this up on the website as a podcast later on. If not today, then we'll try and get it up tomorrow if anybody wants to listen back.